And now, Understanding the Times with Jan Markell, the program committed to helping you contend for the faith and view current events through the lens of the Bible. Here's Jan Markell.
Welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Coming to you from the great state of Minnesota, this is Understanding the Times. Jan Markell, your host, coming to you from the late great state of Minnesota. No, I love it here. I've been here all my life. And this is the program that helps you understand the times, contend for the faith, become watchmen on the wall. Because it says in the Bible that God was pleased with the sons of Issachar who understood the times. We do present truth and more truth and the inconvenient truth. And let us move on here into the topic of this hour. And I'd like to set a roadmap and then bring my guest on. His name is John McTernan. John McTernan is author of several books, including God's Final Warning to America, also As America Has Done to Israel. And we are seeing events in America, and for that matter, around the world, that are somewhat, well, record-setting. We have had floods in the heartland called, well, once in 500-year experience, except I don't think they were keeping records 500 years ago. But anyway, terribly significant. Crops are being ruined or slowed down. The potential for a food shortage ahead in other countries and America is well, the stage is being set. We have had a record-setting tornado season to date in 08. We've got stock market jitters. We've got families trying to make ends meet due to all sorts of things from rising fuel costs and food costs. And we've, around the world, we've seen tsunamis, to cyclones, to earthquakes, devastating hurricanes such as Katrina and Rita. That was actually back in 2005. And at the same time, we see America pressuring Israel to give up God-given land. And the Bible talks about the consequences of anybody who tries to do that. And hopefully we're going to have time to talk about that as well. And are these events, particularly some of the so-called natural disasters, are they a megaphone from God, as I write about? Are they judgments? Maybe both? I mean, we may not even understand it fully, but one man who comments on all of this is my guest, John McTernan. And I think the question and the point that both John and I would be heading towards is the ark door about to close, and will it be too late for some people? And I will explain that as we move on to the hour. John, welcome back to Understanding the Times.
Jan, thank you for having me once again.
Now, John, we see in the Bible that God does judge nations. And I first want to say that America does a lot right. I mean, thanks in part to our founding fathers, some of whom were godly men. But you see what's happening, a lot of what's happening, you see as judgment, at least in part as judgment. And I get this from your blog. And that's johnmcternan.name. I get this from your blog, that you see some of this as judgment. And I want to go more specifically to what's happening, but I want you to respond to what I just said.
Yes, Jan, I do. And the main reason I do are these disasters are hitting primarily. Now, there are some other things which I've also identified, but they're primarily hitting on the very day that the United States government is forcing Israel to divide the land. Now, it's legitimate. Someone could say, well, all right, it happened once. You know, it's a coincidence. Statistically, you could prove it as just a coincidence. But when you get two, three, four, I'm up to, I must be over 60, heading towards 70 now. And it includes some of the greatest disasters we've ever had, Katrina, Hurricane Katrina, Rita, Hurricane Andrew, Northridge earthquake, massive tornado outbreaks, stock market crashes. So at what point, Jan, does it stop becoming a coincidence and lining up exactly with what the Bible says God will do to nations that are in rebellion against him like our nation.
Well, also, this current month, and you and I talked about this extensively, is Gay Pride Month.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, at the same time, America is being ravaged, and will it go on through the summer? Probably. I don't know, but probably, perhaps in other forms. But you know, I know you to be, because I know you well, and you're not kind of one of the sky is falling type guys. I mean, you're actually pretty upbeat. You're even an optimist. But some of what you write about is very troubling. And I think that you and I, and well, let me rephrase that. I think that you and Bill Koenig sparked the interest in the fact that there are consequences when America does certain things. And you have written about the three categories that seem to be the most pronounced, not necessarily in this order, but abortion, the homosexual issue, and then the dividing of the covenant land of Israel.
Yes.
And here we are smack dab in the middle of Gay Pride Month, and all of this is going on around about us.
Yes. And, Jan, let me bring, just refresh your memory to a short time ago. Do you remember Olmert, Prime Minister Olmert from Israel came here?
Mm-hmm.
And that week he was here, and I have on my blog, I have direct quotes, and in fact I have the whole speech of Condoleezza Rice. I went to the State Department, I have her entire speech linked to the blog. In it she says, while Olmert was here and they were speaking before a Jewish organization, that Israel must divide the land into a contiguous Palestinian state. So that means to divide Israel, Jan. They want a state between Gaza and Judea and Samaria, which is called the West Bank. So that'll divide Israel to make a contiguous Palestinian state. And she went on and on about it in the speech. And then on the same day, the California Supreme Court issued its final ruling saying that homosexual marriages will begin on California. They'll begin on June 16th. Well, during that week, Jan, the stock market collapsed 400 points in one day. The oil rose $11 a barrel in one day, which was a record jump. The unemployment surged to record heights. It was a one jump that I think was a record since they've been keeping them. It was like almost 0.75%. And we had horrific tornado storms and thunderstorms and rain in the Midwest. I mean, just massive tornadoes from everywhere, from Indiana out to up to Wisconsin and Missouri and over into Iowa. So our country was being devastated with these horrific storms that turn out to be once in every 500 years. The stock market was plunging. The oil was spiking. The unemployment was surging. And Condoleezza Rice is demanding that Israel divide the covenant land. And homosexual marriage was finally set up in California.
We got a couple more things. This happened yesterday. This is from American Family Radio News. The openly homosexual members of the U.S. House of Representatives have recruited 50 of their colleagues to officially join them in promoting the homosexual agenda in Congress. Democrats Barney Frank of Massachusetts and Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin are the only open homosexuals serving in Congress. They have joined with Republicans Ileana Ross Leighton of Florida and Christopher Shays of Connecticut and 50 other Democrats to create the House Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender Caucus. Peter LaBarbera, president of the Americans for Truth About Homosexuality, says it is a sad day when Congress enshrines official promotion of sexual immorality. And then he says, quote, how interesting that we now have a homosexuality, transgender, transsexual caucus, I guess you could call it, at the congressional level. It's just unbelievable that there are this many congressmen who are promoting homosexuality and transsexual perversion. This happened yesterday.
Yes, Jan. Yeah, I heard you your introduction during the show that you've been analyzing the news for 25 years, And I've been analyzing it the same as you and writing my books. I mean, I actually started in 1987 in my writings and all that. And I've never, ever seen the moral free fall, the bottom falling out as it's done this year, Jan. Mm-hmm. I mean, the governor of Colorado has just signed a law saying that you can't discriminate in bathrooms now.
I know.
I mean, Jan, what is going on?
Well, it's the end of the end times. A lot of people don't buy into that. Here's a verse, though, that we need to keep in mind. And granted, this verse, it's a verse to Israel, but it can be applied, I believe, today. Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. And then he lists the curses, which include natural disasters, famine, pestilence, floods, adultery, oppression, occupation by a nation that serves other gods. But, John, just a minute. I got an email, and it's very short, so I want to read it, because... You know, I mean, out of all the horror, does come some good. Then I want to play a clip, too, that ties into all that we're saying. But I got this email yesterday, and I know the individual, so I know this is very solid here. And she says, by now, many of you have probably heard of our plight here in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. It is like a Hurricane Katrina in our state. 60 counties in Iowa have been declared federal disaster areas. Recently, 4 Boy Scouts were killed in an F3 Twister in Iowa. Just a few weeks before that, in Parkersburg, Iowa, that was obliterated with an F5. 7 people were killed. Now, incredible historic flooding is hammering on our state. Our own city dealing with a 500-year flood. Thousands evacuated, now homeless. The heart of the city and the seat of our county, state, and federal government underwater. What's going on? And then she says this. Some would say judgment. Others would say God's wrath. This is what I say. It's not what it appears. It is opportunity. Looking at all that is transpiring here with the great flood of 08, we are seeing experiencing huge opportunities to share the mercy and love of God with our community. I've already prayed with some people, and believers around here are excited at the opportunities to serve in the midst of the devastation to our city. We have been praying for years for an opportunity to witness. We had no idea it would look like this, but awesome and fearful things happen when the presence of the Lord draws near. So God is doing some good things.
Yes, Jan, I agree with you 100%, and that's the way we should. It's like a chastisement. It's like we're being chastised, and then God's people should comfort, like in Iowa, just like they're doing. I mean, because I don't want to really go into it, Jan, but it affects the whole nation. I mean,
absolutely.
People will say, "Why is Iowa? Why is this happening in Iowa?" And it takes more, for me to explain it thoroughly, I think it takes more time than we have now. But, yeah, it's a chastisement upon the nation, Jan. Mm-hmm. That's
well,
what it is.
As this woman says, some would say it's judgment, and I'm sure that plays into it. Some would say it's God's wrath. That could play into it. And she says for them it's opportunity. Let me play a clip here. And my audience, if you're a regular listener, you've heard this before. It bears listening to again. It's very short. Let me say who it is. This is Erwin Lutzer. He's from Moody Bible Institute, and Fox News is interviewing him. This was a few weeks ago, because this goes back to the cyclone and to the earthquake in China, and I don't think that we fully anticipated what was coming after those catastrophes many miles away, that our own country, where I headquarter out of the U.S. of the United States of America, was going to get pounded the way it has this spring and summer.
My next guest says it's God. God trying to tell us something. Reverend Erwin Lutzer is author of Where Was God? Reverend, what do you think's up?
Well, I really do think that we have to understand that God is in charge of nature. And there's a sense in which the earth, because it's cursed by sin, has these kinds of catastrophes. But, Neil, it's very important for us to emphasize that that does not mean that the people, for example, in Burma are more evil than people somewhere else, or the people who experienced Katrina, or for that matter, the recent earthquake in China.
Then who's he punishing, Reverend? Who's he punishing?
Well, let me put it this way. It isn't so much punishing, though that's part of it, as it is a megaphone from God reminding us of certain lessons that the world should be taking note of. And I think that all death, in a sense, is punishment. Let's keep in mind that what happens every single day. The only reason the earthquake makes the news is because of the number of people that die. But tens of thousands of people die every single day. So in that sense, you know, the Bible says the soul that sins dies. Death and the curse is here over this earth. I wouldn't say that he's punishing somebody, but there's no doubt that God has a message for us in these natural disasters.
But think of that, Reverend. I mean, in the case of Myanmar, right, if it's 100,000, maybe more, who died, we know for a fact they were mostly peasants. They lived in huts and villages that were built sometimes out of straw and sticks. They were the furthest thing, I would think, from deliberate evil or bad intentions to God than you could think of. And yet, they're all dead.
Yeah.
Now, what statement would God be making then, in your eyes, to target them?
Well, first of all, let me say, I totally agree with you. And that's why I say it is so important for us not to think that they are more evil than others. You're absolutely right. And by the way, it's hard for us to even have this discussion unless we understand something of the brokenness in our hearts, of course, go out to all of these
people.
Well,
are you saying that he's making a general statement here? He's saying, this is what I can do?
A general statement. Well, it isn't so much what he can do, but think of, for example, it teaches us the brevity of life.
Mm-hmm.
The people who woke up that morning had no idea that they were going to be dead by the end of the day. It teaches us also values. What is really valuable? At the end of the day, eternity is even more valuable than time.
All right.
And you know, Jesus made a very interesting statement in the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. There was a tower that fell down. And he said that those who died in the tower, the 18 men, were not greater sinners than others in Jerusalem. But he says, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. You know what's interesting is in the 24th chapter of Matthew, Jesus predicted that before he would come to earth, there would be two natural disasters that would receive prominence. One is earthquakes and the other is famine. I'm not suggesting that Jesus is going to return because we know that he is, but we don't know when. But the point is that these things are even predicted in the Bible. So Jesus said, unless you repent,
we don't know. We
shall likewise.
But thank you very much. All right.
Thank you. Heard that, John?
Yes.
Actually, Neil Cavuto really didn't want to Erwin Lutzer to talk a whole lot about repentance, which was really the whole purpose of that soundbite, and that's the point that Lutzer was trying to get through, is the need to repent, because the hour could be late and life can be very short and unexpected things happen.
Yes, Dan. I thought that was a very good interview.
Well, now, he says, Erwin Lutzer says, this can be a megaphone from God. And I'm sure you would agree with that.
Jan, I think the best example I can give to your listeners was 1976. I may be a year or two off on it, but I'm almost sure it was 1976. There was a massive earthquake that leveled Guatemala and Guatemala City. And the Christians from the United States responded with all sorts of help and aid and went down there and began to preach the gospel. And a genuine revival started there that's continued to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's the way it works, Jan. I mean, these things happen, and we should see them as opportunities to respond.
Well, I just think very few people, I mean, could anticipate or prepare for some of these types of events. I mean, we're dealing in this. My hunch is that it's going to go on all summer. I hope I'm wrong, but that is my hunch. We're dealing with some historic types of events. We're dealing with something of a historic promotion. They say down in the Iowa region and others, but it's Illinois, it's Wisconsin, it's Indiana, it's parts
Missouri.
Of Nebraska, it's Missouri, it's the very, very southern tip of my home state, Minnesota. The flooding and the Mississippi River downriver there is becoming an increasing threat to corn, wheat, and other crops, raising the possibility that the storms could continue to already increase spiraling prices for food, fuel, and other commodities besides ruining crops. The flooding has led the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to plan on closing a 200-mile stretch of the Mississippi River, the nation's primary trade waterway to agriculture and cargo ships. So I believe that was from Governor Chet Culver down in Iowa, but nonetheless, it's just, you know, it's a bit overwhelming. If one gets easily upset by these things, it's best to keep the television off.
It's reality time.
Yes, it is.
God's word says he'll judge nations for the very things we're doing, Jan.
Yeah.
And we should be, and I mentioned to you this already, I feel like we're living in the summer of 1939.
Well, I was going to go there, and then you also had referenced 1993. But let's start with the summer of 1939 and the comparisons that you see there.
Well, Jan, in my book, As America's Done to Israel, the first chapter, I spend quite a bit of time about the Nazi movement in the United States, but I also, during the 1930s, I also talk about the Munich Peace Conference, there where they capitulated to Hitler. And, of course, that was 1938, and then the following summer was 1939, and the war started on September 1st, 1939. And anyone that had any type of understanding could see the war. Hitler, his agenda was full swing. He was moving his army to the Polish border. In Mein Kampf, he laid the whole plan out of what he was going to do. The Jews at that point were not being herded into the concentration camps. That wasn't until 1941. However, their businesses were systematically being marginalized in every conceivable way, and some of them were killed already, but the massive killing didn't start till 1941. I mean, it didn't take a genius to see that in July, August of 39 that we're on the verge of a war. And anyone, Jan, that spoke out and said that World War II was coming and there was going to be a war with Hitler, you were called a warmonger back then. Mm-hmm. Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. If you spoke the truth of the condition of the world during the Munich conference and afterwards, you were branded as, you want war with Hitler. You're a warmonger. You want war. You want war. And that's how they would silence the people's message back then. And I kind of see it the same thing now, Jan. Well, we look out into the Middle East and we see Iran going to build nuclear weapons, no doubt about it. And they've already said that they're going to wipe Israel off the face of the map. The former head of Iran, Rafsanjani, who I guess about 3 years ago now, said as soon as all Iran needs is two nuclear weapons, and they can drop two on Israel, and it's all over. The Zionist entity is gone. So Israel is saying they won't allow Iran to have nuclear weapons, that they'll attack Iran. I mean, the war, we might sit here and think, well, that's Israel and Iran. But in between is Saudi Arabia and all the Middle East oil mm-hmm. in the Persian Gulf. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine a regional war breaking out there, missiles flying, planes, bombs? You know, Syria getting involved, and then Hezbollah, Hamas, and we're getting involved. The price of oil would go to $200, $300, $400, $500 a barrel. I mean, it would wreck the world economy, for number one. So we're looking at this. You know, we're looking at the whole destabilization of the Middle East. We're looking at the rise of Islam. We're looking at America as in a moral freefall with all these disasters. And to sit and not face this and see how God says he's going to do these things that are happening in connection with rebellion against his word, I think it's not living in reality, Jan. Seriously, I think it's denial.
Well, I'm sure you have a lot of people, John McTernan, and that's his who we're speaking to. And if you'd like to read a lot of his very interesting writings, go to John McTernan, McTernan dot name. But his book is, new book, As America Has Done to Israel, The Result, Massive National Disasters. That's available in any Christian bookstore. If they do not have it, they'll order it for you.
Amazon carries it too.
Amazon.com.
And I do offer it on my blog.
On your blog, right, As America Has Done to Israel. I think that I think when we were talking the other day, and we're running short of time in this segment, John. I asked you. So, what are you watching for? What are you expecting? And a complete 21st century meltdown of some kind? Need a short answer.
Well, Jan, yeah. I mean.
Well, what kind?
I can't hear you, Jan.
What kind of a meltdown?
Well, I mean, the obvious one right in front of us is economic and political, as far as America is concerned. I mean, we're in, Jan, well, we're in an economic meltdown. I posted some of it on my blog. The people that are in the know are terrified of the economic situation in America, and not only in America, but in the world. I do post some material to show the world condition. They're absolutely terrified, Jan, with the what oil is doing, the price of oil, with the debt situation, the housing bubble. We're just at the beginning of this crisis, not at the end of it. The food problem, I mean, yeah, and every area you could think of, we're in a heading towards a meltdown. But I'm really concerned politically, Jan. When you have, like you articulated in the beginning of the show, 52 members of Congress coming out for a homosexual caucus, you've got, Jan, and I think I can get this out before you break. What I see happening, and this is a warning that I put on my blog, and I'm warning all your listeners now, I see it as like a coup is taking place in America. We're becoming like a South American junta-led government. The rule of law means nothing, absolutely nothing anymore. Five judges.
Yeah, activist judges set the pace. They set the rules.
Right. Yeah. And the rule of the people mean nothing. The legislature means nothing. Five judges will say we're redefining marriage. Mm-hmm. There will be homosexual marriage. Jan, this is stuff that goes on in totalitarian countries. Mm-hmm. This is stuff that I'm calling it a coup. I'm saying the hard left in America now is pulling off a coup right in front of the people's eyes, and we're sitting here just looking at it, and I believe we're in a political meltdown right now. I don't know if the people realize it or not, Jan.
Okay, when we come back, what I want to do is I want you to compare what happened in 1993 to the summer of 2008. So there are some rather scary comparisons going on there. Again, if you'd like to become a CD subscriber, as actually hundreds are, and that's for $30 a month, two CDs a week from Understanding the Times Radio. And just call my office at 763-493-3010. 763-493-3010. Hey, you'll be helping out this ministry and our rather gigantic radio bills as well. Remember, this program is totally listener-supported. We're coming back in just 3 minutes with John McTernan talking more about the issues of the day. Please don't touch that dial.
A reminder to radio archive listeners and podcasters that the Understanding the Times radio show is totally listener supported. We air on several radio stations, which allows us to bring our programming to you. Would you consider a tax-deductible donation to Olive Tree Ministries for the radio outreach? You can send a check to Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. That's Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also donate and order safely online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-493-3010. And thanks for partnering with this ministry committed to helping you understand the times and contend for the faith.
Oh, shout joyfully unto the Lord. Markell's Understanding the Times. Here's Jan Markell.
All right, welcome to part two of this hour. This is the program that looks at news, views, and truths, and even looks at troubled times and perilous times to remind you that God is in control. And somebody challenged me the other day with a crabby email. What do you mean? God, that Satan's been given authority over this planet. Well, that you may think that, but God has ultimate control even of Satan. So God's in control of everything that is happening in your life and in the crazy, wacky, well, the circumstances that are going on in America and the rest of the world as we speak. And again, if you are getting only an hour of this program, we encourage you to visit the ministry website. The website is Olive Tree Views, as in viewpoint, olivetreeviews.org. If you'd like to catch an hour that you may have missed, if your reception is bad, whatever, just go to that website and then to Radio Archives, and the weekend programming is always posted by late Monday. This hour I have as my guest John McTernan. He has written a number of books, God's Final Warning to America. His latest is As America Has Done to Israel, The Result, Massive National Disasters. And we're going to get to more of that here as we move into the final half hour of the program. John McTernan, as I went into the break, I said I wanted you to compare the observations of the summer of 93 with the summer of 2008.
Well, Jan, I went into my book and I posted on the blog what I wrote about June 1993, and I have heard little on the news about this, Jan, but June 1993, they claimed was a 500-year event also.
Mm-hmm.
And that, have you heard, I heard one connection to the Great Flood of 1993 and no more. When really Iowa, the same thing happened to Iowa only 15 years ago, and they said that happens once every 500 years.
Okay, but I think there were some similar things going on. I believe
there
was the gay month and things like that.
Yeah, Jan, I'm quoting right now from USA Today, and this is what they said about, this is all about the Great Flood. Quote, the skies opened up on June 19th through the 21st, filling the tributaries. On June 25th through the 27th, finally putting the rivers over their banks. The Mississippi and Missouri rivers actually began flooding on the weekend of Gay Pride Day. Gay Pride Day began, the weekend was the 25th and 27th of 1993. So as the homosexuals were marching and their supporters were encouraging them, especially on June 27th, one of the greatest floods back until that time, began. The whole Midwest was being savaged by this flood that started on Gay Pride Day. And I quoted to you the meteorologist saying that the floods actually began on June 25th through 27th. Then the rains continued into July. There was a national pro-life effort to save babies. It was called the Cities of Refuge. This is all, what I'm really relating to you was all headlines on the national papers. I've saved the papers. You could see Gay Pride Day, and then you could see the Great Flood of 1993, both as headlines. And then Operation Rescue with the Cities of Refuge trying to save babies. You can see that, and then you could see all the destruction. That was headline on one side, and the other side was the destruction that was caused by the Great Flood. The Great Flood of 93 destroyed 45,000 homes. Almost 100,000 people had to be evacuated. It did $15 billion in damage, and it destroyed, like, Iowa at the time, and nearly the city of St. Louis.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis just averted destruction because its levees were giving way, and the river was pointed right at the heart of St. Louis, and a levee downstream collapsed and lowered the river and took the pressure off St. Louis. And there was all sorts of homosexuality going on, events during June and July of 1993. So in the midst of that, along with trying to save the babies, and they were being arrested left and right, Jan, and, you know, being handcuffed and dragged off, one of the greatest floods in American history took place. And now we have, in June of 2008, what happened in California, what happened in Colorado, Israel is now in the picture with Condoleezza Rice pressuring the nation of Israel not only to divide the land of Israel, not only to give away the land, the covenant land, but to divide the nation of Israel itself to create a Palestinian state. And we have, Jan, in 1993, the floodwaters reached 20 feet above flood stage. Right now in Iowa, they're 32 feet above flood stage.
Okay. You're listening to the voice of John McTernan. You want to read more of his internet writings. It's johnmcternan.name. And the book, As America Has Done to Israel, any Christian bookstore will order it for you, Amazon.com. John, a survey from the Southern Baptist Convention finds that 45% of Southern Baptists no longer see homosexuality as a sin, apparently demonstrating the secularization of the church, or else pastors are not addressing some of these sensitive issues out of fear, or worse, maybe even out of lack of conviction. Who knows? Or maybe they think their membership in the pews would be turning this kind of a message, tuning it out. I mean, either way, John, salt is losing its flavor, and the moral compass that once led this great nation seems to be losing its bearing.
Jan, that is why the Supreme Court in California can do what it did.
Yeah.
That's why the legislature and in Colorado and the governor could do what they did. And that's why 52 congressmen are not afraid to for public repercussion to create a homosexual caucus, because moral fiber in the people of the United States is decayed, Jan. It's decayed. That's why.
Right.
They don't fear any repercussion from the people. It's a sad commentary, Jan.
Yeah. Well,
our political situation reflects the church.
Right. You know,
the church is weak and pathetic. Look at the leadership we get.
Right. Yes, exactly. Now, Gary Bauer says this: a black woman lost her job in Ohio recently for writing a letter to the editor rejecting the notion that today's homosexual rights movement is equivalent to the civil rights movement of the 60s. Just this week, I received a message telling me that an employee at a major insurance company had been fired for expressing his opposition to the company's sponsorship of the Gay Pride Day. In this culture, you want to pass on to your children and grandchildren. Is this the kind of a culture you want to pass on to children and grandchildren? Our values and our freedoms are at stake. Fight for them, you know, and it's declined a whole lot worse just to the north of us in Canada, and many are wondering if America is going to sink as far as Canada has sunk.
Well, Jan, the left wing, whatever you want to call them, I call it the hard left in my blog. They do not know national boundaries. The hard left in Canada is the same as the United States. They're the same as in England and France and Australia. And whatever is going on in England and Canada and France, rest assured that they want to do the same thing here, Jen.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
In my blog, I'm listing, or I'm showing what's going on in Great Britain, for example, and Canada, as a warning to the church here.
Yes.
Now, there was a pastor. This was just last week. There was a pastor in Canada that was fined somewhere around $7,500 for speaking out against homosexuality. Now, the government of Canada, I mean, this sounds surrealistic, but the government of Canada fined him $7,500. He had to give an apology to some homosexual that apparently was spoken to, saying that homosexuality is sin. And then he had to agree to never speak negatively about homosexuality from the pulpit, Jan.
Yeah.
From the pulpit. And that's where they're heading here, folks, in the United States. The freedom of speech means nothing here because they're pulling a coup. I mean, if they can do what they did in California, especially in California, but it was also done in Massachusetts. It's been done in other states. It's primarily being done by the courts. They will simply say, yeah, you got freedom of speech, but not about homosexuality, or not about Muslims, or not about abortion. They will shut us down, and the freedoms that we knew will not exist. They're going to go after your homes. They'll close your churches. We're dealing with totalitarianism, Jan.
Okay, I'm moving on to page 196 in your book, As America Has Done to Israel. And, John, if you'd be patient and let me just read a few of the bullet points you have outlined there, the similarities. The following is a list of similarities between the destruction of Gaza and Hurricane Katrina. Now, I know this was these kinds of things were circulating all over the Internet back in 05 and even 06, and they are something to think about. There's a whole bunch of bullet points. Let me try to pick out some of the highlights or lowlights. And then I'll get your comment. Prior to removal, the Israeli government called on Jews to evacuate their homes. The U.S. government called on residents to evacuate their homes prior to Hurricane Katrina, too. August 17th, Israel ordered a mandatory evacuation of the settlements. On September 7th, the mayor of New Orleans ordered a mandatory evacuation of the city. Point three, the evacuation of 12,000 Jews was the largest in Jewish history since 48. Several million Americans would evacuate from the path of Hurricane Katrina. Next point, Israel sent 40,000 troops to evacuate the settlers in Gaza, while the United States had to send 80,000 soldiers to the destroyed area of Hurricane Katrina. Next point, Jews went to their roofs to try to delay their eviction from Gaza, while thousands in New Orleans went to their roofs to keep from drowning. Next point, Gaza is located in Israel's southern coastal area. A section of America's southern coast was destroyed. The next point, the evacuation destroyed thousands of Jewish homes. The Hurricane Katrina destroyed or damaged more than 500,000 American homes. Next point, the day Hurricane Katrina hit, Jews were digging up their dead to re-enter them in cemeteries outside of Gaza. Katrina's tidal surge uncovered hundreds of bodies from Gulf Coast graveyards. Next point, the Israeli government barred citizens of Gaza from their homes. American citizens in the destroyed areas were barred from their homes. Next point, many Jewish people felt abandoned by their government. Many Americans felt abandoned by the government failure to respond quickly to Hurricane Katrina. Next point, the Israelis from the settlements boarded buses and were taken to locations all over Israel. The people trapped in New Orleans were loaded on buses and taken to shelters all over the United States. The next point, Gush Katif was a major agricultural center. The port of New Orleans was the major agricultural shipping center in the United States, and the Midwestern states shipped much of their produce through this port. Last point, President Bush promised $2.2 billion for the relocation of the settlers in Gaza. The early estimates were a cost upwards of $200 billion to repair the damage from Hurricane Katrina. Those were some bullet point similarities that you have outlined in your book, As America Has Done to Israel. Your comment?
Jan, it really speaks for itself. As we did to Israel, it happened to us almost to the day. We, the last Jewish person, was evacuated from Gaza. Collective name for all the settlements there was Gush Katif on August 27th, and on August 27th, Hurricane Katrina was formed and called and named for the first time. Mm-hmm. So as the last Jew was removed from the settlements, that's when Hurricane Katrina became a hurricane, was named, and just 2 days later it smashed into New Orleans. So it was like the same day. It was almost the same day occurrence, literally. And as we, the pressure, Jan, to do what the Israelis did came directly from George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted Gaza closed, all the Jews out, and he wanted it for the Palestinians. And then, Jan, look what happened.
Yeah, well, it's infested.
It became a Hamas. It became a nest for terrorists.
Yep, that's right.
It blew up in their face.
All right, but let's be a little bit positive here, too. And as a matter of fact, your book, he actually has the positive things that America has done to bless Israel. And I think we need to remember that as well, John.
Yeah. Yes, Jen. The first part of the book,
yes.
I go through American history to
yes.
show how the United States is unique in blessing the Jewish people, and that God raised up a unique nation here in freedom in the United States.
Let me give an example.
I believe it was
Harry Truman who was the first, I think he was the first, to cast a positive vote that Israel should become an independent nation back in 1948. Now, he had his arm twisted to do that, but he did it nonetheless. He did it.
Jan, all his advisors, except for one, was against the United States recognizing the state of Israel because they didn't think Israel was going to survive, and they thought it would make the Arab nations hostile towards us. And Harry Truman's grandmother was a real Baptist and told him as a little kid about mm-hmm. the Jewish people and the covenant that they had. And in the bottom line was Harry Truman remembered his Bible roots and his grandmother, and against all his advisors on May 14th, 1948, he recognized the nation of Israel, which sealed the modern birth of Israel. There was moves on the way to stop what the United Nations had done by creating a Jewish state there. And when the United States, led by Harry Truman, and it was only minutes after the nation of Israel had been declared by David Ben-Gurion, when Truman did this, it sealed the birth of modern Israel.
Yes. And I think I think what we're playing off of here, John, in your book, and I'm going to speak for myself, too, is Genesis 12:3 here, where God says to Abraham, I'll bless those who bless you, and I'll curse those who curse you. But another place where America literally rescued Israel was the Yom Kippur War of 1973, not all that long ago, where America intervention not only spared Israel terrible defeat and catastrophe in that war that was much of October of 73, but also caused, because President Nixon stepped in with threats of all kinds to the enemies of Israel, including Russia, caused Russian forces to turn about and head back to Russia because they were about to come down and participate in that war. Again, America stepped in to bless Israel.
Yes, and see, Jan, in my book, I write about what I call the dichotomy, where on one hand, the United States is Israel's greatest ally, and that's borne out by, you can see all sorts of polls taken where we are really the only nation in the world where the people have such a fond view of Israel and a high view of the Jewish people. Of course, there are some that don't here, but compared to, like, Great Britain, for example, you can't compare the two.
Mm-hmm.
So the people of the United States, the Congress of the United States, are really behind Israel. The problem is the President and the State Department will not stop this self-anointed mission to divide the nation of Israel.
Okay, let me quickly interrupt, and we're down to a minute. The two candidates running for the presidency as we speak, we know who they are. Where do you see them taking this issue? Again, I need a very short answer.
I don't trust Obama for 1 minute. He says one thing in front of the Jewish people, and then he runs with Palestinians that border with being terrorists and gave their organization tens of thousands of dollars. Can't go into detail, but I do not trust Obama. John McCain seems to say the right things, and I think his past shows that he will be a friend of Israel. But I think he'll continue with that same
yes.
divide Jerusalem, divide the land. I mean,
yeah.
it'll be a continuation of George Bush Sr., Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr., and we face the same problem with the Lord.
I think you may be right. Time will only tell. Would like to think better than that, but again, God is in control of what's going to happen. Again, let's just give the contact information one more time. If you'd like to read John's blog, it's John McTernan, McTernan, johnmcternan.name, N-A-M-E. the book is As America Has Done to Israel. Any Christian bookstore, if they don't have it, they'll order it. Amazon.com would have it as well. And he has it on his blog, again, johnmcternan.name. John, thank you so much for joining me today, my friend, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Jan, thank you very much. God bless you. God bless your listeners. And I hope this provokes us to prayer,
yes.
Jan, to
yes.
fasting,
yes.
to the seriousness of yeah. the hour that we live in, Jan.
Yeah, I'm glad you ended on that note because there needs to be a plan. We can't just sit and talk about all that's wrong without talking about maybe there's something we can do about it.
Well, that's why I wrote the blog. If you follow through the blog,
yeah.
you see I'm calling for prayer and fasting.
Okay, God bless
God
you,
God bless you, Jan.
Goodbye now.
And your listeners.
All right, bye-bye. Okay, next week, I don't know what's next week. I'll be here. What else matters, okay? Now might be a time if you'd like to sign up for my print journal, just 763-493-3010, and that's free at 6 times a year. Again, remember, Understanding the Times, 08, around the corner, September 26th, 27th, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, southwest suburb of Minneapolis. And also remember the replays, and sorry about my two live audiences. We had some replay glitches last Sunday. I trust they are taken care of. AM 980 KKMS repeats the entire program Sunday 12 noon to 2 p.m. AM 820 KGNW, our live audience in Seattle, Tacoma, repeats this program Sunday 5 p.m. All stations repeat it. Check your local listings. Again, I thank you for joining me. And would you please, in spite of these terribly troubling times, look back and thank him. Look around and serve him. Look ahead and trust him. Look up and expect him. Jesus is coming again. We know not when. In the meantime, have a wonderful and joyful week, and we'll talk to you next time.